وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَهْلَكْنَا الْقُرُونَ الْأُولَى بَصَائِرَ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ.
After we had destroyed the earlier generations, we bestowed the book on Moses, a source of enlightenment for his people, and a guidance and mercy that they may take heed. After previous generations had met with the evil consequences of turning away from the teachings of the prophets and had been subjected to the tragedy that befell Pharaoh and his army, God bestowed his book on Moses, peace be upon him, in order that humanity could embark on a new era in the light of divine guidance.
وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الْغَرْبِيِّ إِذْ قَضَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى الْأَمْرَ وَمَا كُنْتَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ.
O Muhammad, peace be upon him, you were then not on the western side when we bestowed this commandment of law, and you were not among its witnesses. O Muhammad, peace be upon him, you were then not on the western side.
The western side here signifies Mount Sinai, where Moses, peace be upon him, was given the Torah. Mount Sinai lies to the west of Hijaz.
When we bestowed this commandment of law, and you were not among its witnesses.
This alludes to the 70 elders of Israel who were summoned along with Moses, peace be upon him, for the covenant. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Araf 7:155, as well as in Exodus 24.
وَلَكِنَّا أَنْشَأْنَا قُرُونًا فَتَطَاوَلَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْعُمُرُ وَمَا كُنْتَ ثَاوِيًا فِي أَهْلِ مَدْيَنَ تَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِنَا وَلَكِنَّا كُنَّا مُرْسِلِينَ.
Thereafter, we raised up many a generation, and a long time passed. You were then not even present among the people of Midian to rehearse our verses to them. But it is we who are sending news about that. Thereafter, we raised up many a generation, and a long time passed.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, had no direct means of obtaining this information. These events, which had taken place 2,000 years earlier, are now being narrated in the Quran as though they were eyewitness accounts. There could be no other source for all this information except God's revelation.
You were then not even present among the people of Midian to rehearse our verses to them, but it is we who are sending news about that.
Moses, peace be upon him, arrived in Midian and spent 10 years there, during which period a number of important events took place, and then he departed. Now, as we know well, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was born much later. Hence, it was out of the question for him to know firsthand what had happened. His narration of these events with such vividness was not on the basis of his personal observation. Rather, it was based entirely on the information he received through revelation.
وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الطُّورِ إِذْ نَادَيْنَا وَلَكِنْ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ رَبِّكَ لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أَتَاهُمْ مِنْ نَذِيرٍ لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أَتَاهُمْ مِنْ نَذِيرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ.
Nor were you on the side of the Mount Sinai when we called out to Moses, peace be upon him, in the first instance, but it is out of mercy from your Lord that you are being informed of all this, so that you may warn a people to whom no warner came before you. Maybe they will take heed. But it is out of mercy from your Lord that you are being informed of all this.
These three things are presented by way of proof of Muhammad's prophethood, peace be upon him. At the time of the revelation of these verses, the unbelievers in general and the leaders of Makkah in particular were bent upon proving that Muhammad, peace be upon him, was a false claimant to prophethood. in this vicious campaign, they enjoyed the support of Jewish scholars and Christian monks who lived in various parts of Hijaz. At the same time, the fact was that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had not suddenly appeared among them as if from nowhere. He was a resident of the same city, and the Meccans knew about each and every aspect of his life. For this reason, when these three proofs of his prophethood were presented with an open challenge to any detractors, no one from Mecca, Hijaz, or the rest of the Arabian Peninsula stood up to level the vile charge that is presently being made by Orientalists. True, the unbelievers then showed little reluctance in inventing lies and false accusations. But how could they fabricate such a stupid lie that would not even stand the test of critical scrutiny for a single day? How could they say that Muhammad, peace be upon him, had obtained all his information from this or that Jewish scholar or such and such a monk when they would have been unable to identify a single person in that regard? For as soon as they mentioned anyone specifically, it would be immediately apparent to all that they were lying. Nor could they have accused Muhammad, peace be upon him, of owning a library of ancient books which he consulted and which were the source of his discourse. They could not have said so because they would not have been able to find a single scrap of paper around the unlettered prophet, peace be upon him. Moreover, no one could contend that the prophet, peace be upon him, had obtained the services of translators specializing in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek works. Nor could even the most brazen liars among them have the temerity to accuse the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, of obtaining all his information during his journeys through Syria and Palestine. It was impossible for them to do so for the simple reason that on those journeys he was not alone. He was one among a large caravan. Hence, if they brought such a charge against him, there would have been hundreds of first-hand witnesses, fellow travelers on those journeys, who would have instantly refuted and dismissed their accusations as absolutely baseless. Furthermore, we know that within 2 years of the Prophet's death, peace be upon him, Muslims were engaged in warfare against the Romans. Now, if there had been a Christian monk or a Jewish rabbi in Syria or Palestine with whom the Prophet, peace be upon him, had had any interchange on the matters mentioned in these narratives, the Romans would have created a great fuss about this. They would have argued quite fiercely that Muhammad, peace be upon him, who had visited their country during the earlier part of his life, had obtained information from several of their citizens. After obtaining this information, he then returned to Mecca claiming to be a prophet on the basis of the knowledge he had thus collected. At that time, the unbelievers were in dire need of refuting the challenge presented by the Quran. Yet, not a single person came forward with anything which proved that the Prophet, peace be upon him, had drawn his information from any identifiable source other than that of revelation. It is also pertinent to point out that the Quran does not make this challenge in this verse alone. There are several other instances which contain similar statements. For instance, after narrating the story of the Prophet Zechariah, peace be upon him, and Mary, the Quran says, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, we reveal to you this account from a realm which lies beyond the reach of your perception, for you were not with them when they drew lots with their pens about who should be Mary's guardian, and you were not with them when they disputed about it. Al-Imran 3:44. After narrating the story of Joseph, peace be upon him, the Quran says the following, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, this is some news from the unseen that we reveal to you, for you were not present with them when Joseph's brothers jointly resolved on a plot. Yusuf 12:102. Likewise, after narrating the story of Noah, peace be upon him, in some detail, the Quran says, we reveal to you these accounts of matters that are beyond the reach of human perception. Neither you nor your people knew about them before this. Be then patient. Surely, the good end is for the God-fearing. Hud 11:49. The fact that the Quran frequently returns to this theme shows that it is one of the major arguments continuing its divine origin. That hundreds of years after these events occurred, an unlettered person was narrating them in detail. Obviously, no source for that information was available to him except that of revelation. It will also be noted that this challenge, to identify any other source for this information other than revelation, was one of the main reasons for Muhammad's, peace be upon him, acceptance by his contemporaries as a prophet. They could appreciate that since there was no possible source from which the relevant information could have been drawn, the only possible explanation was revelation. Just imagine how important it would have been for the opponents of the Islamic movement at that time to refute this Quranic contention. It stands to reason that they would have explored all possible avenues to challenge it. One can also understand that had there been any weakness in the Quran, it would have not been difficult for the Prophet's contemporaries to prove it to be wrong.
So that you may warn a people to whom no warner came before you.
A prophet had not come to Arabia for about 2,000 years, not since the days of Ishmael and Shoaib, peace be upon them. During this long interregnum, the Arabs had heard about Moses, Solomon, and Jesus, peace be upon them, and about their messages delivered as they were outside Arabia, but before this time, no prophet was raised in their own land.
ولولا أن تصيبهم مصيبة بما قدمت أيديهم فيقولوا ربنا لولا أرسلت إلينا رسولا فنتبع آياتك ونكون من المؤمنين.
We did so lest a calamity might seize them because of the misdeeds they committed, whereafter they would say, Our Lord, why did you not send a messenger to us, that we follow your revelation and become among those who believe? Our Lord, why did you not send a messenger to us, that we follow your revelation and become among those who believe?
The Quran mentions this on several occasions as the reason behind the raising of the prophets. It would be incorrect, however, to deduce from this that there must always be a prophet in every land. As long as the means for the correct transmission of a prophet's message are available, there is no need to raise a new prophet, not unless it is felt that something needs to be added to that previous message, or that an altogether new message needs to be delivered. There are times, however, when the teachings of the prophets disappear altogether from the scene or become exceedingly distorted, lost in a heap of error and falsehood. On such occasions, they cease to have the potential to guide people. In such times, people may argue that since no one has explained to them the distinction between truth and falsehood, it is not possible for them to be directed to the right path. It is on such occasions that God sends his prophets to mitigate this excuse. Thereafter, if anyone follows the wrong path, he will be held responsible for his wrong choice.
فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ عِنْدِنَا قَالُوا لَوْلَا أُوتِيَ مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى أَوَلَمْ يَكْفُرُوا بِمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبْلِ قَالُوا سِحْرَانِ تَظَاهَرَا وَقَالُوا إِنَّا بِكُلٍ كَافِرُونَ
But when the truth reached them from us, they said, Why was he not given that which was given to Moses, peace be upon him? But did they not reject before what had been given to Moses, peace be upon him? They said, Both are magic. Each supporting the other, and they said, We deny each of these. But when the truth reached them from us, they said, Why was he not given that which was given to Moses, peace be upon him?
Their question was, Why was Muhammad, peace be upon him, not given all the miracles which were given to Moses, peace be upon him? Like Moses, it should have also been possible for Muhammad, peace be upon him, to demonstrate his staff turning into a serpent. His hand, too, like Moses' hand, should have become radiant like the sun. Those who denied him should have been struck with storms and plagues from the earth and the sky, and he, too, should have been brought commandments from God inscribed on stone tablets.
But did they not reject before what had been given to Moses? Peace be upon him.
This answers those objections. People had failed to believe in Moses, peace be upon him, despite the miracles given to him. What then was their justification for asking for more miracles? Many of those who questioned why Muhammad, peace be upon him, had not been given miracles were the same people who had denied Moses, peace be upon him, or who followed a different path. In Surah Sabah 2, the Meccan unbelievers are mentioned as having said the following, "We will neither believe in the Quran nor in that which came before." 34:31.
They said, "Both are magic."
That is, the Quran and the Torah.
قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِكِتَابٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ هُوَ أَهْدَى مِنْهُمَا أَتَّبِعْهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ
Tell them, O Prophet, then do bring a book from Allah which is a better guide than either of them, and I will follow it. Do so if you are truthful. Tell them, O Prophet, then do bring a book from Allah which is a better guide than either of them, and I will follow it. Do so if you are truthful.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, had in any case to follow the true guidance as long as it truly constituted revelation from God. If they had a book of God better than the Quran and the Torah, then why were they hiding it? They ought to bring it out for all to see, and then the Prophet, peace be upon him, would certainly follow it.
فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنِ اتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ بِغَيْرِ هُدًى مِّنَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ
But if they do not hearken to this, know well that they only follow their lusts. And who is in greater error than he who follows his lusts without any guidance from Allah? Allah does not guide those given to wrongdoing.